Hey, it's Millie, and welcome to the Generalist World podcast. This is a show where I interview people from the Generalist World community, and we talk things like the future of work, careers, predictions, their hot takes, and really understand what their squealy careers have looked like. So if you're a generalist who feels like they're living in a specialized world, this is the podcast for you. Valeria, welcome to the Generalist World pod. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you, Millie. I'm really glad that we made it happen.
It's gonna be fun. So if people haven't come across you yet, if this is the first time someone is tuning in and finding Valeria, what are some of the threads that you love to talk about? What is the flavor of where this episode might go?
Yes, so I am Italian born, is London based. Now I'm a leadership coach. And, you know, in a nutshell, I work with people who are stepping into leadership roles for the very first time, or they're taking on bigger roles. But again, this is not what I've done for a long time. You know, there is a trajectory, a squiggly path that led me to where I am. My background is financial services in the front line. And yeah, I'm happy to talk about it a bit more. But obviously, there is a bit of self-discovery and just leaning into my interests, my curiosity, and taking on various bits along the side to then get to where I am today.
So take me back to that pivot. So where were you and what did you pivot into?
Yes, so I started out my career as a graduate in investment banking. Few years ago, moved into private equity, and then I moved on to financial services regulation. Across these various moves, I was going up, and it was mainly through my specialism, actually. So very much deepening my expertise, which was around financial analysis. Now, some of the signs of, you know, my journalist side were already there because, you know, curiosity, Just getting fired up by various little things, both work-related and non-work-related, but then just nerding out on things. And just generally, these wanting to be constantly learning and be constantly challenged to the point that I would leave a role when I realized that there was no more head-scratching, you know, the being kept on my toes was missing. And that was a diversity that I was craving, really, for me. I, at some point, decided to train as a coach. And that was initially purely because I wanted to become a better people manager. So the point had come for me to start managing people, and I wanted to get some additional skills there. And I didn't expect that I would fall in love with it. That's a plot twist, but I think it was, again, this was a stronger signal around, you know, I'm not just enjoying the spreadsheets, but also there is these other aspects of me which is really kind of firing me up. So at that point, I just decided to take more opportunities to spend more time doing coaching, but also, again, alongside my role. So I had an opportunity to become the co-lead of the internal coaching network within my organization. So it was both the act of coaching, but also the operations of just running a network. You know, it would be from matching people, the advocacy, the getting the network known, just the growth and expansion internally. And I also set my own business on the side, coaching stream, which, again, I was running alongside my full-time job for quite some time. So after about 3 years, I just felt that it was time for me to focus full-time on coaching, which is what I'm doing now. That's another generalist pivot, I think, because you probably know it better than I do, having worked for yourself. But, you know, when you are your own boss and you run a business, then you don't just spend time doing the thing, delivering the service, but also the IT, marketing, strategy, finance person. So you do a little bit of everything, which I love it, I have to say. So I think, yes, that's been kind of my trajectory from, you know, again, being on the floor and now kind of very much more onto kind of the people side. And it's interesting because sometimes I have conversation with people and they tell me, oh, yeah, you are a people person. So it's clear, you know, it was in there, but you have to listen to the signals and put yourself into those situations to really let those elements kind of come to the fore.
There's so many threads that I want to pull on there. The first is what you said about being kept on your toes, because this is something that I feel like if I'm not kept on my toes at work and challenged, like it's like a craving, or maybe even more, it's like a need that I have to be challenged and kept on my toes. What would you say to folks who are in that position and they're not being kept on their toes right now? How might they think about it, or how might they get unstuck?
So if you are finding yourself in this type of situation, then I'd say take a bit of a pause and a step back to identify where is your thirst for learning and diversity coming from, and find opportunities to cater to that. It can be, you know, some roles allow you to do a bit of redesign. You know, people, you know, there is a lot of appreciation for those people that actually want to kind of make the role bigger. So, you know, you can take some initiative and be proactive and go to your manager and have a conversation around, what if I also do that? Can be part of your BAU role, can be part of some internal, you know, interest groups or cross-functional projects. Can also be outside. So join communities, or, you know, find initiatives, can be through volunteering, find ways to fill your cup. Our life does not just revolve around work. So we can fulfill our needs throughout our day in different ways. So I'd say start from that, and then listen to what comes back to you, right? So how are you feeling? Do you feel kind of more energized as a result, you know? Because that's something then that you can dig into a little bit more, and again, maybe find ways to spend more time on that. Could be, again, a job, could be a more kind of formal role in a charity, you know, you can expand. But I think try, kind of dip your toes, get some feedback back from what you're doing in terms of how you're feeling. And if not, again, if it doesn't work, then do something else. But I think it's really cool to actually be able to experiment, like these tiny experiments around how you spend your time and what you do.
Yeah, I was reading in the GW community today, I think it was Romero, was talking about essentially information and how everything is just information. Also, you could also say feedback. And so it's like whether you do something or don't do something or which path you take, nothing is usually black or white, as in a right or wrong. It's simply information that you can then make better decisions to take your next step. And I loved what it really stuck out to me, what you said about you did your coaching, like training, actually just to become a better people manager. So you probably had a direction that you thought you were going, and yet it led you on this completely different trajectory for your career. Do you have any kind of advice for people who might be at that segue and they might be thinking, oh, I'm pretty sure this is the thing that I want to go after, but I'm scared, or I'm nervous that I'm going to fail, or I don't know anyone and I don't have a network? Like, what would you say to people who are kind of at that precipice of a big transition?
So one thing, it's probably, I'm going to take it from one step back, which is the failure point. I think there is, to this day, a lot of stigma attached to this failure aspect of you do something and doesn't go as you expected, you know, but why attach too many expectations onto something? Again, it's back to the information point. You've got this feeling, this push towards something, go and try it out. And whatever happens, in my view, you're winning, because either that thing works very well and, you know, then you've found your path and then you just run. But then if it doesn't work out, actually you've still gained, because you learn something about yourself. And then you can try and figure something different out. So that's the first piece around, again, it's a learning opportunity. It's not just failure, right? What do you make with this learning? Now onto how you go about it. I'm very much one for calculated risks. So ask yourself, you know, what if things don't go as I hope or as I expect them to go? Can I go back? And if the answer is yes, then go for it, you know? If the answer is no, then obviously maybe ask yourself a couple of additional questions, right? Because, you know, to this day, like, you know, financial security is important. You know, there are lots of things, like some decisions actually don't just have to do with us, have to do with other people that live with us. So it's important to, again, make a, that's what I call a kind of a calculated risk. Like, what can you afford? But ultimately, most of the choices that we make are not irreversible.
And I imagine that when you were going from being in a full-time job to actually going out on your own, I think you said 3 years in going to your full-time coaching business, I bet there was a lot of calculations there that would have been a calculated risk. How did you know when it was time to go full-time on your own thing?
For me, the point of decision of actually having to really focus on this more was I just realized I reached my bandwidth in terms of, you know, how much I could achieve with my time. I was very committed in my role, obviously, you know, everything that I do, I go full in. And so you go full in your day-to-day role. And then also around it, mornings, evenings, weekends, you can't stop thinking about coaching. And that worked for a bit, but then it came to a point where I was just realizing, you know, I don't have a lot of time to for myself to recharge. And also there are quite a few things that I cannot push to the next stage if I don't give it more time, realistically. So there was an element of I really need to set aside more time to, you know, kind of really, really focus on growth. So that was the point. I said, well, I can continue doing this, but then it's just going to stay where it is. But also the one thing that probably is going to change is I'm just going to get more tired and more tired. Or I just back myself and dedicate it the time that it deserves.
And I know that you speak quite openly about burnout and the effects of going too hard for too long. What are you seeing in your worldview? I mean, you're a coach, you're a part of our community. What are you seeing in your worldview when it comes to people who are burning out?
So there is a lot of talk these days that, you know, kind of pressures are not getting any lighter. If anything, they are increasing on people, right? Like the world is changing. There is a lot to do. There is a lot of uncertainty, a lot of discussion around, oh, will AI take my job? Obviously, separate thing. I don't think it necessarily will, right? But, you know, all of these things contribute to uncertainty and pressures. So it's important to really understand, you know, what are your primary needs? And I'm not just talking about, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but, you know, what are your non-negotiables? What is that you need to be able to perform and thrive? And actually, what are the triggers that can tip you over the edge? Or, you know, kind of the signals that you need to listen and it's time for you to slow down? Because what often happens is that the signals are there, but we just decide to ignore them. And then there is a point where actually we've got no choice because our body is making our choice for ourselves. Again, in my case, I couldn't get out of bed. What I found for me at the time was in my quest to be, you know, dependable, I just made myself completely unavailable. It doesn't help you, obviously, because you're not well. It doesn't help your team either. So again, if you think about it, it's important to attend to your needs to continue to then kind of deliver for everyone and kind of, you know, for your team. So yeah, it goes back to self-awareness. It goes back to actually finding the courage to listen to ourselves. Sometimes also there are some thought patterns that are very much ingrained into us, maybe from our upbringing. And, you know, sometimes we need to break those down to really avoid getting to that point. You know, for me, I learned the lesson the hard way. I think you don't have necessarily to learn it the hard way. So I think if you're listening to this and you're recognizing some of the signs, you know, you're not feeling quite yourself anymore. You're feeling constantly exhausted. Deep down, you're noticing, you know, I'm reaching that breaking point. You know, ask for help and listen to yourself and have those conversations also with those around you, because people respect those who set boundaries, right? Sometimes we're so afraid to just say no because we think people would be so disappointed. But no is not rejection, you know. No can mean not now. Or it can mean yes, but. And you know, you can discuss and you can find an alternative together.
That really resonates. And I wonder from your coaching practice, is there maybe like a standout exercise or question or prompt that often gets people's like wheels turning or helps take them from like one state to another?
Well, there are a few options to take this, right? Sometimes what can help is, what would you tell your best friend? Because we can be so harsh on ourselves. But if we were to listen to our best friend telling us how much they are, you know, kind of the challenges that they're going through, what would we tell them? So a bit of self-compassion.
Yeah, and a bit of distance too, right? Like, to take it away from you being in the spotlight. I think that's a really helpful prompt. When I was reading through our notes for this episode, there was a sentence that stuck out to me, and it's, you said, "Somewhat I felt at peace with the fact that I was not a specialist anymore." Can you talk me through what that process was like for you?
Yes, of course. So I think back to the point when I started to train as a coach, and interestingly enough, when I decided to train as that, I was considering, do I train as a coach or do I get another qualification in my field of specialism? And I decided again to do something a bit different. I think the point where actually I started to see that I was loving the coaching itself was when I started to ask myself some questions around, you know, who am I? You know, where am I going? You know, what? How do I identify myself? You know, this identity piece, I think, was quite pronounced for me. And so I was sitting with it and internally, and just, you know, from just reflecting on kind of how it felt, and even just interacting with people or as part of my work and within my network. You know, I've got kind of a network that just reflects a lot kind of my previous career. You know, how can I explain this to people? Obviously, coaching is didn't just give me a love for something that I do now, but also it gave me a lot of learning about myself, because when you go through the training, actually you have to do the work yourself. So a lot of kind of inner work that came through it that helped me. But I think a big turning point actually was last summer. I still remember it. I was scrolling on LinkedIn, as you do these days. I think probably what you don't do is scrolling on LinkedIn when you are on holiday on a sunbed or whatever. That was for me. I think I can still remember that. But then I came across one of your posts, and probably was one of the, it was the first post I came and just saw you kind of in the interwebs for the first time. And obviously you were talking about Generalist World, and I just stopped. It all clicked, right? And I said, yes, you know, that's who I am. It makes a lot of sense. I've got a lot of interest, and also obviously I've started out my career just deepening my expertise on something, but actually I've got all the rest. And around my moves also was from one piece, I was stepping onto another role, but then gaining something more, and then something more, and just kind of becoming my own category of one, which after quite a bit of, again, identity and questioning, I just started to embrace it, and I thought, yes, that's who I am. That's when I decided that I wanted to be part of Generalist World as well. So yeah, the doors opened a few months later, and joined the community. And that's also when it's really snowballed, because once you're in and then you really see you see what generalism, like the shapes the generalism can take, which by definition are so many directions. I never really stopped getting intrigued, excited, or energized just by reading people's introductions in the community, because generally sometimes there are roles that I didn't even know they existed, and it's so fascinating. There is no boundary as to kind of how generalist you can be, and I'm a proud generalist now.
Yes, I love it. It's such a funny story that you were on a sunbed. Oh, I quite like it. I quite like it. Okay, you have some really fantastic, like, spiky perspectives and opinions that I would just love to get, like, give some airtime to. One of them is around the identity shift required to transition into leadership after having been an exceptional IC or technical expert. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so one of the things that I actually speak quite a bit on my socials these days, I think, and this is something that I think both people themselves get wrong, but I also think organizations probably don't get necessarily right all the time, is that they treat a promotion into leadership as just another promotion. And I don't think it's the case. There are, you know, especially the first part of your career, you get promoted on the back of what you deliver and your expertise and, you know, your knowledge. When you become a leader, then the rules of the game change. You know, all of a sudden, you are not the one that does the work, but you are the one that lead others to do the work that you once did. How do you let go of that identity that your value, your performance is not assessed anymore on the actual delivery of an end product, but actually comes from your team? And again, how you make them shine and give them the direction and the guidance and you develop them? How do you delegate well? How do you not micromanage? But also, how do you not become passive? And again, they feel completely lost. Like, how do you move yourself across this spectrum depending on the need of your team members? You know, everything changes. Then the managing up, you know, managing peers, even more challenging. How do you manage people that were once your peers and now all of a sudden they report onto you? There is quite a lot going on that is not just about the technical know-how, but it's about those additional skills that are very unique of them being a leader. And so from an individual point, it's important to understand, is it something that they want? Career growth is not anymore necessarily just going up the ladder. You can grow also laterally and acquiring breadth, and it's still learning and growth. So just understand that and be honest with yourself and then go after what you actually really want. Being aware of your strengths helps, right? But then also for organizations, don't assume, first of all, that people just want to go up all the time. So it's important to have, you know, honest conversations, line manager and direct reports, what is that you really want. But also once you promote those people onto leadership and, you know, these are your talent, your high performers, don't fail them by not giving them the support that they need to continue shining, because they will probably need training, mentoring, sponsorship, coaching. There is an infrastructure that can be put to support those people kind of make a successful transition. You know, people are not necessarily born leaders. People need some support. People can get there. But I think sometimes it's just an underappreciated as a career step. I think it's quite pivotal.
Makes total sense. And gosh, the world needs leaders. The world needs leaders who are confident and effective at the moment, I think, you know, more than ever. I think we would be amiss to get this far into the episode and not ask your prediction and your perspective on where AI is taking the world of work.
Haha, yes. So my view, and obviously, you know, things can change. I'm very much actually curious to see what people think, but also I see AI as an opportunity. I see it as an opportunity to, you know, delegate some of the grudge work or, you know, kind of elements that actually do not require the human side of us. They can be automated. They're quite processy. There is quite a lot there. Again, AI can become your coworker to whom you delegate a lot of these aspects that actually they take a lot of time, and that can give you so much more headspace and time for you to bring your human side, more of that, to make it shine. Because back to, you know, when we were talking about the burnout and there are a lot of demands, there is lots going on. Again, if our cup is completely full, a lot of things have to give. And so sometimes we really kind of, we probably don't have enough energy, time, capacity to bring those unique aspects and the human aspects out just because we're so kind of delivery focused and head down. But if there are some things that actually can be offloaded, then it actually creates an opportunity for us to connect more.
I think that is the optimistic, and it's certainly where I stand as well, that if we can delegate, eliminate a lot of the repetitive manual tasks, then yeah, as you said, that's how we can connect more. That's how we can have time to be more creative. That's how we can invest more in the human skills that also organizations desperately need, particularly when there's going to be this rapid change with technology. So totally with you on that. I wonder if there is anything that I haven't asked you that you're like, oh, I really wish I had a chance to speak about that when I had the mic.
Perhaps one thing that I just touched upon earlier when I was talking about the strength aspect, you know, being aware of your strengths. So I bring a strengths approach into my coaching, and I think it's definitely something that I'm very passionate about. And I think, first of all, you know, what I define as a strength is mm-hmm. something that you do very well, but also something that you find very energizing whilst you do it. So if you can find some time maybe to identify out of your workday when you're doing something, is it energizing you? Is it leaving you neutral? Is it draining you? That's very rich information then to know what you want to double down on. The more energizing stuff you do, the more you've got kind of sustainable performance, you can keep going. And again, lower chances of burning out. That helps you also working better with people, because you can be curious about other people's strengths, and then you can collaborate better by, you know, redistributing the work based on, you know, where someone's strengths lie versus not. Again, as a leader, it can help you hire for people that have strengths where actually you don't have them, or you have a trainer. So that's one thing that I would also want to share with people in terms of, you know, how can you prevent burnout?
And maybe what we can do, never done this before, but we can throw in a little challenge at the end. And the challenge is, if you are listening to this right now, go into the show notes, find Valeria's LinkedIn and send her the strengths, the strengths that come up for you. Send her, or if you want to, you can also post it and share it on socials. But the idea is to listen to this, but then to take action and actually to go and sit on a quiet Saturday morning, get yourself a nice cup of tea and sit with this question, because it's really, really important.
And since you speak about it, perhaps also on the notes, we can add a link to, I created a Notion template to help people map their diary with, you know, again, how they spend their time, and then a couple of questioning and reflection points, and yeah, a couple of actions. So take the challenge as you wish. You know, you got a few ways.
I love that. We will absolutely share that in the show notes, and we will also share your link so folks can get in touch with you. And thank you so much for being a part of the community, and thank you for coming on the GW podcast.
Amazing. Thank you, Mindy. It's been a pleasure.